a closer walk with thee. Oh, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou art strong. Oh, Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Thou be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Let's all stand together. Oh, just a closer walk. Is that what you want? Oh, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Oh, daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to be back in church on a Wednesday night. How many enjoyed the services on the weekend? Amen. But if your tank's running a little low, this is our spiritual filling station. Stop by and fill up again on Wednesday night. Amen. Did you come expecting? Amen. Let's sing a couple of more verses to that song as we endeavor to create an atmosphere that'd be pleasing to the Lord. You want God to speak to you tonight? Amen. Just a closer walk with thee. Amen. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Oh, who with me my burden shares? Oh, none but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Oh, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk with thee. Oh, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Oh, daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have Brother Terry to come and read our prayer request and lead us to the Lord in prayer this evening. How many has a need on your heart that you'd like to make known with uplifted hand this evening? Amen. Brother Terry.
As I say many times, we get to go to church today. We get to go to church today. I think about what Brother Bam said, if Christ is in your heart, you can hardly wait for them doors to open. And I think about that statement, if Christ is truly in your heart, you can hardly wait for them doors to open. If Christ is truly in your heart. And I thought about that many, many times. Do I feel that way? I surely do. I love to go to church. I want to read a couple of testimonies and thank you notes before we take our prayer request. This actually was sit-in Sunday. I don't know why it didn't get read, but we'll read it anyway. Brother Bert Thompson says, thank you all for praying and believing with me. I can actually see and feel the healing of my foot in great progress. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, Brother Bert. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God, too. Sister Carol Reagan sends this in. I want to thank everyone who prayed for my sister Sharon. She had surgery on Monday, came home on Tuesday. She's doing well. The doctors are overwhelmed at her progress. Thanks so much for all the prayers, Sister Carol. She also says some have been asking her for her address. It will be on the board in the lobby if anyone wants to send her a card. So thank God for that healing touch. Amen. So we appreciate it. God still answers prayers. He just asked one thing, can you appropriate that faith? All things are possible if we can only believe. Let's look at these requests. Here, Brother Baker has a couple we want to read. Please pray for Sister Sarah Ellis. The doctor found a lump on her body. She'll be going Tuesday for further treatment. Please keep her in prayers. He also says, pray for my sister, Mary Grace Collins, who is in the intensive care at Johnson City Medical Center with a brain tumor and other health issues. Also, Brother Baker says, please pray for Sister Christine Baker, has stomach pain. So let's remember this request, these needs here. No name on this one. Please remember Sister Claire Bateman in prayer. She is suffering with neck and shoulder pain. She needs a healing touch. Another one with no name. Please remember Brother Doug McKinney. He went through 6 hours of tests this morning. They still don't know what happened to him. He wants to thank everyone, however, for their prayers. He is feeling much better. Doctors are supposed to read his test result tonight and tell him what's wrong. So let's remember this request as we look to the Lord. This one about Brother Curtis Hunnell. Please, this one was sent into the library. Please continue to pray for Brother Curtis. The doctors have started him on 2 different antibiotics, and they are not seeing any improvement in his condition. They are also going to perform a lung biopsy to determine if it is indeed pneumonia or some other type of infection. Visitors are welcome, but please keep them brief, or he's very weak at this time. So let's remember Brother Curtis. Went to see him a couple of times, and he just, you know, he lives alone, not married and so forth, and so he just would cover our prayers. No name on this one. Very special unspoken request. Also, this is from a Brother Al in New York. Please pray for a customer's dad, Mr. Tiger, had an aneurysm and needs a touch from the Lord. Please pray for salvation and a chance to witness to them. And also, April Blair requests prayer for a certification board exam she'll be taking tomorrow. So these are our prayer requests tonight. How many believe that all things are possible if we can only believe? If we can just only believe. So when we pray tonight, it's just not me praying, but you pray with me and believe with me. Want to put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. So we're just going to put the devil on the move. We're going to pray. We're going to believe for these needs tonight. So you pray with us, okay? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. your very present help in a time of need. We thank you for the testimony, Sister Sharon, how you touched her and brought her out, the doctors being overwhelmed. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, because you promised where two or three are gathered that you'd be in our midst. And we invite you to be among us tonight. We welcome you. We pray, as I say many times, take the uppermost seat. Lord, we want you to have the preeminence in the service, in our lives, in our thoughts. Lord, not that we would be concerned so much about the what would be taking place tomorrow. Tomorrow may not arrive for some of us, or some, for all of us for that matter. We don't know when the day of the hour is, but we want to be ready. Make our calling and election sure. Lord, we pray for each one of these requests. We pray for Brother Curtis. You know his need, his condition. They really can't find out what exactly is going on. But Lord, I know that you know, and help them to find out really what the issue is. But we know what it is. It's the devil. So we condemn that devil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And may Curtis get well. Brother Baker's request, you know, each need there. And we pray for them. And Brother Al up in New York, that individual with the brain aneurysm, you know all about it. And each one of these requests that I hold in my hand, Lord, you know all about them. And we just commit them into your hands. We pray, Lord, as Brother Harvey asked for unspoken requests signified by raised hands, I'm sure that there are sick among us, lost loved ones, someone outside the ark of safety, someone, Lord, who needs a real encouragement tonight. I'm sure people that have come into the sanctuary tonight need something from the Lord. We all need something from you. We come expecting. We come to learn about you. We come to acknowledge your presence and to worship you and to give you praise and honor and thanksgiving. We love you, Lord Jesus. We're going to spend eternity with you. We came from you. We're going back to you. We want to know more about you. Anoint our pastor as he speaks tonight, giving, Lord, the spiritual food in due season. Let it be ever-present water from the rock. Lord, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. These wonderful messages, Lord, that you sent by your messenger, Lord, we're so happy just to be feeding on that unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Touch these requests. Touch these people. Give them what they have need of, and may your name be praised. May we have more testimonies of things that you're doing for us. In the midst of us, Lord, in our presence, we thank you because you're here. Meet the need of everyone. We commit each one of these requests into your hands, Lord. And we thank you because we know the answer is already on its way because you said, ask abundantly that your joys may be full. Thank you, Lord, for these in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's just start singing this little chorus. And Brother Harvey comes and takes the service. He's got it all in control. Let's sing it, Brother Harry. He's got it all in control. We believe that, don't we?
Put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Once again. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in his hand. I put my life in his hand. So every road I walk down, I'm sure is in his plan. I put my life in his hand.
Amen. Why don't you turn around and greet your neighbor there and those around you. And I would like to welcome everyone to service tonight. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. And then after you greet your neighbor, you can have your seat if you promise to help me out and sing with us. Amen. If the brothers had come, maybe we'd get ready to receive the offering this evening just before we sing this song. There's an old song Victory in Jesus. I'd like to sing that together this evening. The brothers could find that old song. We'll try it in F, maybe. We'll try it there anyway. And Brother John Linichek has a song special for us. So if he'd come right after we sing this song, get ready to sing for us. Victory in Jesus. Amen. You believe that? I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Oh, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath a cleansing flood. And I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. Then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Oh, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Oh, He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. Some sweet I'll sing up there my song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Oh, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Oh, He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Brother John. Thank you.
beautiful sun. I drifted in darkness. The clutches of Satan, they clung to my soul. My sins were so many, my burden so heavy. But when I touched Jesus, He made me whole. And I pressed through the crowd, reached out and touched Jesus. The sweet Holy Spirit came into my soul, and I knew I'd been changed, and my sins were forgiven. When I touched Jesus, He made me whole. Like the woman who tried, many physicians, but when she touched Jesus, she was healed on that day. Well, my sickness was different, my burden so heavy. But when I touched Jesus, He washed them away. And I pressed through the crowd, reached out and touched Jesus. Sweet Holy Spirit came into my soul, and I knew I'd been changed, and my sins were forgiven. For when I touched Jesus, He made me whole. For trusting in Jesus, He'll make you
sure I was on the right, with on the same page. If you don't mind, stand with me. It's Brother Donnie Comes. It's a course I've sung a time or two here. You might remember it. You know, with all the shaking going on around the message and people leaving and walking away, last night I was down on my knees. I said, Lord, just hold on to me. And this song says surround me. It's just a little simple song, but you can sing it with me.
Surround me, oh Lord. Surround me, oh Lord. Surround me, oh Lord. Let your presence fill this place. Oh, surround me, oh Lord. Surround me, oh Lord. Surround me, oh Lord. Let your presence fill this place. All I ask you to do is surround me, oh Lord. Surround me, oh Lord. Surround me, oh Lord. Let your presence fill this place. Oh, surround me, oh Lord. We need you, Jesus. Surround me, oh Lord. Surround me, oh Lord. Let your presence fill this place.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If that can happen to us tonight, we'll be different people, won't we? Well, I guess y'all know I'm not Brother Tony. Actually, I announced it wrong. I announced it was this Wednesday, but it's next Wednesday. I don't know why Brother Jimmy didn't raise his hand and say, "Hey, knucklehead." That's a Methodist, Brother Jim. That don't work. You imagine? He raised his hand like that trying to stop me. Come on, man. Get Happy Valley style. Praise the Lord. So, Lord willing, as far as I know right now, Brother Tony will be here next Wednesday. Right, Brother Jim? Right? Okay. So, for those who laid out thinking they weren't going to get to hear me, and for those of you who came on, Acts chapter 1, verse 10. That's why it pays to come to church every time you can, because Jesus more than likely is going to show up. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the same line that we was at last Wednesday, and title it this: Will there be a physical return in a corporal body? Will there be a physical return in a corporal body? Acts chapter 1, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Because one day a similar Jesus, which will be sort of kind of like this one, but not exactly like this one, because his corporal body no longer exists, and it'll be a theophany that liars." Whoever preaches that is liars. No two ways about it. If you don't preach it this way, you're not preaching the scripture. Because you see it this way, ain't got nothing to do with me. It's what the Bible says. Let that word be true and every man's word a lie. "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. Now notice, same Jesus, but a like manner. Same Jesus, but in a like manner, as ye have seen him go into heaven. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So whatever kind of body that Jesus comes back in is your future home. So if he comes back in theophany, theophany is all you'll ever be. If he comes back in a spirit body only, that's all you'll ever be. But if he comes back, glory, King God, King Jesus, King Theophany, that's you. That's the way you'll be. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight, Father, for the reading of your word. We pray tonight that you would make it beneficial to us, Lord. We know, Father, that the word is revealed in two great forms. That is, in the form of Logos and Rhema. I pray tonight that as we hear the Logos, as we read the Logos, may we also see our need of Rhema. May we be inspired tonight by the living presence of him who made the word alive. Speak to us tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. What a privilege it is for us to be gathered together again in the house of God. We know the coming of the Lord has always been, ever since Jesus, of course, went away 2,000 years ago. It's been a point of great discussion, a point of ridicule and laughter to the scoffers, the unbelievers. And then we find, as we come to the message and we embrace the message, then offshoots come out of that. And there comes differences of opinion, and doctrines are formulated as to the coming of the Lord. And was 1963 the literal return of Christ, the physical return, or is it later? Was that the rapture? Was that the beginning of the rapture? Was it the consummation of the rapture? And what's so important is that whenever we go to looking at any ideology that we would come up with on our own, or that we would hear someone else introduce to us, thing we want to do is to go back to the Word and make sure that that is not something that has been concocted by some demon out of hell that has got on some good, genuine, sincere brother or sister, because it's not just preachers that make up a bunch of nonsense, but sometimes lay folks do too. But we want to trace that back and make sure that what we're accepting into our soul is the absolute truth. Because this is the day of uniting. And you and I are going to unite with something. We will unite with truth. We will unite with heresy. We will unite with part truth, part lie. Or, you know, God gives us an option of that which we want to unite with. So it's entirely up to you. Because you are a woman. You are a bride. Now, many of the message folks are an espoused bride, and they think because they're bride and think because they're espoused, they're elected, they're sealed. That has nothing to do with being elected. You see, Paul addressed the church in that day and said, I have espoused you to one husband, which is Christ. And then he turns right back around and says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in the gospel of Christ. So here he says, I have already espoused you. So espousal was not eternal security. A person can be espoused by the messenger of the day, even called bride, and commit adultery away from the word. Remember, that's the state that the serpent found Eve in. She was an espoused bride, but not yet wife. Now, the real bride in this day is not just remaining in the single state of bride, but she's moved into that spot to where let us be glad and make merry, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. So to the real elected of God, which comes out of the message ranks, there'll be thousands and thousands of them that will be espoused by the message of the last day. They'll come up so far and go back. Others will come up so far and go back. Others come up so far and go back. And they say, I believe. That's not the thing of it. The thing we must do is go into the intimate chamber with Christ and let Christ seal us to the day of redemption. Now, as Paul was able to espouse the people of his day, but he knew in between the time of espousal and the consummation of the marriage, that's always the trickiest part. It was there that Satan came in and got a hold of Eve. It was there that he got a hold of the first church, on and on and on. Of course, the types go. The same way with you and I today. This is why, Brother Branham, when he quotes the exact same scripture, and then he goes right on and said, remember, there is a rejected bride. A rejected. Now, we think because we call ourselves bride, that's it. You better read a little farther. Because there is a people that is called a rejected bride. Now, what would ever make them rejected? Because they do not come fully under the atonement of the Word. Now, they embrace the blood, they think. They embrace the cross, they think. They embrace many, many things, but they never come under the full atonement of the person, which makes them a complete paradox within themselves. Now, remember, as we looked at Sunday, that the rapture, which is a paradoxical event, will only be for those who have already become a paradox within themselves. So if you're not a paradox tonight, you're not ready for the rapture. Just saying you're a Christian, saying, I believe the message, that's not a paradox. You must be actually a new creature in Christ Jesus. So then whenever all these things begin to come around, remember it's always been that God will give the word and then God will back off a little bit and it gives the enemy a chance, a time to be able to take that word and confuse the minds of those that are not elect. God's done that in every day. He done it in the Garden of Eden. He set forth Adam and Eve on the word and then he allowed Satan an opportunity to attack them with the word. You see, we do not prove our loyalty to the word by just God revealing it to us and then putting us in a plastic bubble and never letting the devil get to us. But we prove our loyalty to the word when we hear the word, we see it's right, we're identified with it, we honestly grasp it, and we see it's the truth. Then God will move back a little bit. God let you be tried. God let you be tested. God let false prophets rise among us, all kinds of things like that. And still we come right back to the word. This one will raise up a question, that raise up another one, that one will raise up another one. You know what? As the elect of God, we have questions too. Sure we do. There's things we don't understand because there's no way that you and I will ever understand God by intellectual knowledge. There'll always be things when you get done reading books and when you get done reading the Bible, there'll always be an element that faith is required to believe the above. And you're never going to be able to sit down and say, well, I understand. If you can totally understand your religion, you're lost. If you can totally understand that you say you believe about God, you're on your way to hell. Because real perception of God for by faith. It is not by understanding. It is by faith. We walk by faith. Thank God for all we do understand. But there's much about God I don't understand. There's much about the rapture I don't understand. But thank God. You say, that's crazy. No, it ain't. If I could understand it, can you imagine how we could be? If me as a flimsy mortal could understand everything about God, man, he probably ain't been about that tall and about that wide. He's a puny little feller. If you understand all there is to know about him, if we understand all there is to know about the rapture, but God gives us exactly what we need and the rest of it is by faith. And it's always that element of faith that will interrupt the intellectual thinkers around every day because they can't understand it. They try to sew it all together. Hey, we're not making a garment, we're making a body.
You don't sew together the bride like you do a shirt or a tie or a pair of breeches. It's put together by faith. And there's so much that we can understand, so much we can prove, and then there's faith, and then there's faith, and then we prove this and believe that and point to that, and then there's faith, and then there's faith, and then there's faith. There's no way in the world you can sew that all together. The intellect can never make it work. Come on, Jimmy, you're going to preach with me. But you know what? A real child of God, every question that raises up, every question that's presented, that's, I can't explain it, but I believe it anyhow. I don't know how it works, but I believe it anyhow. I don't know. Here I am 56 years old, and I still don't understand how my digestive process works. But you know what I do? When I go sit down, I don't worry about it. I don't worry how many enzymes and how many this and that and the other. I feed my face just like you do yours, and I try my best to enjoy every bite of it. I don't understand how it works. I don't understand why I like certain green things and other green things I can't stand. Certain yellow foods I like. Others, I wouldn't give you a nickel for a dump truckload of them. Why? They're the same color. I don't like the texture in some. I don't like the color in others. I don't like the mushiness in some things or the gooiness. Come on, don't sit there and look at me. You're exactly the same way. I don't understand why I don't like broccoli. I just don't. Furthermore, I don't understand those of you who do. And you're sitting there saying, well, I don't understand why you don't like it. Well, see, you sit there and enjoy it and you think of me when you are. But you know what? Do we have to wait? Well, I'm never going to eat again until I understand exactly the process of my eyes and how my eyes will be able to look on certain foods and my mouth will start watering. You know, I read a study there not long ago where they say certain people so love money that whenever you pull out $50 bills and $100 bills, that saliva will come in their mouth. I didn't find that hard to believe. Some of them come to church here. Now, notice then, whenever you go to deal with any truth that God sends to the earth, then Satan will always have the opportunity to come around and to try to confuse those who can be confused and to try to affect the elect. Now, he cannot get the elect, but he can confuse the elect, and he can actually sow them down in the process. So Satan comes, and now, friend, well, we've got many, many more things to deal with than any other message that ever was. I think you remember many, many years ago, the Lord had me to tell you one of the greatest things that we're going to be able to do. One of the greatest challenges was to be able to hold our head above the fanaticism around this message and still be identified as a message believer and not be so ashamed of all the trash and all the nonsense that's around us. Surely we're old enough now to look around and say, you know what? That's the truth. Nearly every week goes by, you hear more of this and more of that and the other. But don't keep your eyes on that. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we know these things are going to come, but just don't let them shake you to the ground. Keep right on looking. Will there be things about the coming of the Lord? You know, the scripture tells us that they would come in the last day. Scoffers would say, well, where is the sign of his coming? He's not coming. But in the message approach, it comes in a different way. So they try to cloak it under the Greek term parousia. Parousia, which means his presence is here. So if his presence is here, there is no literal coming. Yet Brother Branham taught parousia. Parousia was not something that Brother Branham used first. It was actually something that the Greeks used. So they actually used it before Jesus ever came. So it was an advent or a personal presence of an individual. It was used by kings. It was used by monarchs. Their parousia. Now they would send a messenger before them. But when the king himself was going to come, the Greeks would use this term. It was a personal presence of this monarch or this king. And yet what does Satan try to do? He tries to thwart away the advent of the coming of the Lord by hiding it behind a so-called revelation. I don't want no revelations that are contrary to the Word of God. Any revelation that's contrary to the Scripture is not of the Holy Ghost. Because that would make God double-minded. God would give you a revelation that's contrary to the Bible. Come on, church. God would give you a revelation that's contrary to the message of sir. That's not my God. But my God gives revelation that lines word on top of word on top of word. He never breaks his pattern. Now, after the seals are opened and after the advent of Christ and the Son of Man and the appearing of the Lord Jesus had come among us, did Brother Branham, our prophet messenger, actually believe, look for, and teach a corporal return? He did. Which is why I did. What's wrong with that? Simple. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's just simple. Now watch this uniting time and sign. To think that someday in a physical form, with a body like his own glorious body, will sit down at the table at the wedding supper and there be united in wedding marriage to him, to live as bride and bridegroom through all the times that is to come, through a ceaseless eternity. I am not looking for a spirit body. I am not looking for a doctrine. I am looking for a corporal body to return. And with his return, he will bring mine. If I'm in the grave, and if not, I will take mine to meet his. Glory. That's what believers believe. Right. Notice again, Patriarch Abraham, notice these dates now if this is important to you. How is it going to be? I can't tell you. But God said so. He will send Jesus Christ the second time. Notice 2764. The seals have been opened now for almost a year. The Lamb. Notice now, the Lamb of God that spoke the seals. The Lamb of God that had broke the mysteries of the seals, and you're the prophet, a year later is still teaching a corporal return. I may believe it. Notice now, he will come in a physical form. Now this is his part of the earth that he redeemed. Now can you imagine how it upsets God when God said, this is my part of the earth, and from this part of the earth, I will redeem the rest of it, and then people around the message don't believe he has this part of the earth anymore? So God redeemed the body of Jesus and then lost it? So if God lost that body, how can we be sure he can keep ours? He never lost it. It's just them that's lost their mind. God never lost that body. If that was God's part of the earth, it will be there through eternity. Glory. He will claim his own. There will be 1,000-year millennium reign upon the earth with him, with the redeemed. Notice, with the redeemed. That's what he promised. And we're looking for that hour to approach. Isn't that amazing? Wonder why he didn't put the 10 in there. Because Brother Branham wasn't looking for no tent at the rapture. Come on, church. Don't get quiet. Notice again, voice of the sign. Let's remember what quickened to us. What did it? It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ in our midst showing himself that he's alive. Not a corporal body. Now watch how he differentiates between this. When that time, that corporal body returns from heaven, time shall be no more. So yet here was the presence of Jesus Christ on the earth doing the work again of Son of Man. And Brother Branham severed that presence from the corporal body. Why is that hard? Notice again, if his presence can come right here and show that he's here, now his corporal body can do it. When that comes, so Brother Bam said he was here, but yet he was there. Now I'll tell you, friends, where a lot of problems is, you got a bunch of Jesus-only preachers still around the message. So they want to empty out heaven and the seals and put all of that fullness of the Godhead body right down the end of the earth and basically do away with the body. Or as I heard one preacher say not long ago, the body of Jesus is laying on the throne of God in a coma. Well, I hope not, because I ain't never seen nobody in a coma that could be able to really pray for me. So if Jesus is in a coma, we're in a mess. Can you imagine your lamb been on the altar in a coma? Oh my, it's got to be this way. All this trash has to be around us. But don't let it affect you. You keep your eyes right on the Word and know that it's sent for you to bring you a state to a maturity. He's not in a coma, neither is he a spirit. He's out doing the work of our mediator. Notice again, Christ revealing his own Word. Now the next thing happens is when it's all gathered together in that one person, Jesus Christ, bride and body, at the physical return of the Lord Jesus. making his three times when he was brought on earth, killed, crucified, and raised up. Oh my. Now notice it's all going to be gathered together when his body, physical corporal body, comes to call a bride. Notice again an invisible union. Now we know that history is closing out. The world's history will soon be over. They're going to step into a new day, to the great millennium. That is one believer. I believe in a millennium. A millennium reign with Christ. Brother Brown did not believe it was going on somehow right now in a supernatural way. A spiritual millennium, as some of the brothers want to preach it. That's a lie. Lie, lie, lie. Preachers are going to go to hell for lying. This is what Brother Brown taught. Why do we leave it? Why do we leave the scripture? Why do we leave the message? Let's leave it just like it is. It'll get us out of here if we'll believe it like it is. It won't if we tamper with it. Do you understand when people are tampering and doing all that? It will not produce a faith to get us out of here. Oh my. Now notice this date. 11/25/65. In about a month, he'll be in the sixth dimension. Now look what he believed 1 month before his departure. I believe as a believer in a millennium reign with Christ, 1,000 years upon the earth, the physical return of the Lord Jesus to take a physical people glorified by his cleansing blood. I believe that same thing, Brother Dan. Anybody else here believe with me? The rest of y'all better start y'all another church in. Because we ain't believing here. No. So his physical return was set in motion, the resurrection and the change for the living. Now listen again. His physical bodily return. Don't you see why? He could come down in spiritual advent and it not set in motion the resurrection. He could actually come down, Brother Ben said, Christ is those seals, and the seals was preached by Christ because he is the whole word of God, the rising of the sun. So how could Christ ever come and break open them seals and preach the seals and then not cause the resurrection? Because the resurrection is synchronized with the corporal body, not with the Christ immorphe. It is not synchronized with that presence. It is synchronized with the corporal body. If it had not been that, when he come down to break open the seals, the resurrection, the rapture would have happened right then. But the resurrection is in sequence with what? The corporal body of the Lord Jesus. Without that, there will be no resurrection. Without that, you will not have a change. Because Christ came on the earth and is still here on the earth. And he has not raised us yet. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. Let's turn, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40. Now, watch how Paul breaks into this about the breaking down of the body. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Now, the word celestial is heavenly, in heaven, existing in heaven, of heavenly origin or nature. So there are heavenly bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now watch this. So there are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. Now there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star differed from another star in glory. Now watch how he takes this thought and then he goes into the very next verse and says the resurrection is the same way. That there will be people that will raise in the resurrection, and even though we'll all have eternal life, and we will all have a body that will live forever, but there will be glories which shall be revealed in the resurrection. That's what the Bible says. So as you look and you see one star, my, it's so bright and so brilliant, and you look and see another, it's less distinct, and another, and it's less and less and less. So is the resurrection, that when we raise according to the glory, predestinated glory that was walked in this life, it will foreshadow in the resurrection. So you are somewhere else what you are here, and vice versa. So in the resurrection, there will be diversities of glory that will raise. You know, actually in the second resurrection, when they come up, the kings will be raised up, the heathens will be raised up in the millennium, and there will be people that will be raised. Will they have a body that will have, be able to, capable of eternal life? Absolutely. But there will be a diversity of glory in the resurrection. That's why the bride will live inside the city. Why? She was raised under one glory of the morning sun, or the morning star and the evening star. So there will be Paul's bride. There will be the elect bride of the last day. There will be the foolish virgin. They will diversity of glory. They will not be allowed to live up next to the sun. Their orbit will be outside the gates. So their glory will be different. They'll come in and see you. When they walk into the city, there you'll be. And they'll say, my, what it must be like to live here with the King. What it must be like to walk up and down these streets. They don't get to do that. What little hardships we go through in this life, I guarantee you, He's going to pay us back after a while. Now watch, he says, so there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the stars, another glory of the stars. One star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Now watch how it goes in now into the resurrection being tied by a seed. How that it is sown. It is not buried now, left in the human garbage pile as we looked at last Wednesday night, never to be raised again. But it is actually sown. It is actually sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. Now notice the affinity that he puts to these contrasts, because it is sown in incorruption. It is not another, but it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Not replacement. Not replacement. This is not resurrection. That's replacement. I replace this with this. The resurrection is this went down, this comes back up. Glory. Now, the bodies of the dead, whether they are saints or ungodly, many of them have the same characteristics. All of them do. Whether they're black, white, red, yellow, Chinese, Japanese, doesn't make any difference. They all possess the same characteristics because they all come from one head of this race. Now, the different countries we originated from, the diversities of color has nothing to do with our origination. We can give one another blood transfusion, right? Now, it is sown in death, or as we would sow a plant and a seed, that seed must corrupt, it must rot, it must be changed in the ground in order to come forth. Now, God does not liken it to a tree, that you'd go out and transplant a tree. But he likens the resurrection to a seed. So it's not moving a birch tree. You go over to Evergreen, you find a beautiful white birch, and you say, oh my, I love that. I want that. So you get it, and you go over there, and you take that birch and set it out in your yard. That's not the resurrection. But the resurrection is like a seed. So the seed is buried down in the ground. And something begins to happen to that seed. What? Rotten. It begins to corrupt. Moisture will begin to get around it, and it'll rot in the outside shell. And it'll begin to break down, and something happens as it's transforming. So it is sown a body which has corruption, but it is raised a body which cannot have any corruption. Now, so it's sown in corruption, which is, of course, is the grave. Now, whether saint or sinner, we all go into graves, or if you go by cremation, or, you know, many of them down in the sea, and all the different things like that. But yet, it went back to the elements of the earth, and then if time go on long enough, it would go back to the acids, the gases, and all that that it's made out of. But yet, in the original creation of God, it went back to the place it was in the beginning, the very same place cows go, and horses, and sheep. And rats. You're the highest form of animal life. We might put you in a beautiful mausoleum. Oh my, we might embalm you and decorate you. Have you seen some of them Egyptians, what they look like after 2,000 or 3,000 years? I'd rather go back to the dust and look like that. My goodness, a bunch of old wrinkled up skin stretched over an old rack of bones. My. I don't want to look like that. Don't embalm me. You all just bury me. Let me go back to where I'm supposed to. But you realize no matter rich, poor, bond or free, it doesn't make any difference. It is sown in incorruption. But that's not where the elect will stay. Glory. Notice this. So Paul says so is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. So the body is buried in a state of degradation, a state of humiliation. Many have died with diseases and all kinds of things. And already the thing goes on inside of their body. Maybe this is gone and that is gone and that is gone. Surgically removed before they even go to the grave. Others will go by the way of a car wreck. Other goes by a heart attack, whatever it is. But Satan still has that right, saint or sinner, to touch that body at death. Why? He still has a claim on it. Well, I know somebody's going to puff up on me now. I don't care how much you puff up. It's the truth. You better quit puffing and listen. Because your body, I don't care how much Holy Ghost you are, God, it is still an animal. I don't believe that. And you don't believe the Bible. Now notice, so he promises that the body will go down in corruption, but it will be raised in incorruption in an incorruptible state. So the body will be raised incorruptible. So once it comes up, it's past the capability of ever going into the state of degradation again. It can never get sick. It can never be break out with a cold or a fever or hives or anything like that. Because once it's raised, it now bears the image of the second man, Adam. As long as we bear the image of the first man, Adam, and we come to the earth with a psyche, a soul, then that puts us under the birth path of the first man of the human race. And when he fell, we fell with him. Notice, but it will be raised a glorious body. Now notice, if we receive this natural body through the first man Adam, then we receive the spiritual body through the second man Adam. Notice this. Paul says it this way. He says, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in dishonor. The most beautiful woman, the most handsome man, the richest person that ever lives. Would we want to leave him out for a week or two? Let's just leave him at the house, shall we? Sit back in the recliner or their favorite chair, watching their favorite movie with their remote in their hand. And let's go visit them after 2 weeks. You won't be able to get in the house without a gas mask. Now, their money will not do them one good. The rich won't smell pretty and beautiful. They'll stink just like the poor man. Why? It's this touch of degradation in our body and violent corruption. And you imagine those who do not become born again. This is the way they go out in this life. And in the resurrection, they will be raised in that same body that they sinned in, which will be their judgment sign. You see, if you raise in a 50-year-old body, brother, you're in trouble. If you are raised in a 60-year-old body, oh, it's bad news for you. But don't you understand, when the elect raise in an 18-year-old body, it's a sign they are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Paul says it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Notice Abraham in Genesis 23:3, when Sarah, his beloved wife, had died. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner. Will you give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight? Amen. This was his sweetheart that he had loved since she was a young girl. But now he wants this carcass out of his sight. It is dishonorable. Right? It must be sown. So he buys the cave of Machpelah. the cave where Job was buried. Now why would he want to put his beloved wife out of his sight? Because the part that made her so beloved, the life had now left, and without the psyche, without the soul being in the body sets immediately into corruption. As soon as the soul leaves, within a matter of hours, everything starts falling apart in the body, even in a sinner. Oh, think of it. Now, notice he says it is sown in weakness, so it comes to the world. Now, you think about it, friend. What is any weaker than a human baby? More helpless? A zebra born in the Serengeti. I've seen them, thousands of them. Born in the Serengeti. In a matter of moments, that mother will keep that baby zebra where only he can memorize her stripes. Because at the birthing time, there's thousands of them being born. And she'll go around and around and around that baby. So it will imprint her stripes in his eyes. So he will identify with her. So he will know who his mama is. If a mother does that, what about Papa God? Now, whenever this happens, it is what? A form of flesh. And yet, in a matter of minutes, that zebra will stand up. In a matter of hours, it can run full strength. Why? Lions, cheetahs, leopards, jackals, hyenas. So God equipped it. If he didn't, there'd never be any reproduction. Same with the blue wildebeest, black wildebeest, many, many, many of these things that are on the carnivore's favorite eating list. In a matter of hours or minutes, they can get up and run full stride. And many of them are born on the great migration, which is the wildebeest and all that. And they come from Tanzania down to Kenya, thousands of miles one way. And they're born on their way up. You imagine, so you're, they're born on the way up and they don't have, the mama zebras don't have little backpacks and have little buggies where they're pushing little baby zebras around. If you make it, you make it on your own 4 feet. So you know what? God equips them, buddy. When they hit the ground, they're almost ready. So they're ready to gather. But look at us when we're born. We can't feed ourselves. We can't diaper ourselves. We can't clothe ourselves. We can't talk, we can't, you know, many of these things that we cannot do. And yet once we mature, we excel over the top. We are the highest, but yet by birth and many times, we are the very lowest and the weakest and stay the weakest. It proves this kind of body brand's not becoming to us. Oh my. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, notice this. So, this body then, once we become a human, then our parents, to many of us, we receive, you know, many genes and chromosomes from our mothers and fathers. And now that for many, many years now, they've been able to dissect, does this run in your family? You know, if you go to a doctor's visit, you know how it is. You go in and sell out this, check, 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 check. Did you get that? And you say, Lord have mercy, I'm signing away my life. You know, do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have an ache? Do you have a pain? Did any in your family have this? This, that, and the other. By the time you get done, you feel like going jumping off a river somewhere. You think, oh my, yeah, daddy had this, grandma had that, ain't so-and-so had this, uncle so-and-so had this. And you think, Lord, is that what's in me by natural genetics? Yes. Aren't you glad there's another verse? Yeah. All right, now let's check this other doctor's list. Do anybody in your family have eternal life? Yes. Anybody in your family believe the word? Yes. Anybody in your family stand when the times is tough? All of them did. Anybody in your family be fed to the lion's den? Yes. Glory. Even when we get the Holy Ghost, it does not run into our cells and our genes and regene us naturally and take out any weaknesses, any kidney, any bladder, any this, that, and the other. It leaves them right there. So maybe your mama or her mama, your sisters, had breast cancer. When your father and your mother got together, produced you, them genes come right down. Naturally, you may be looking at breast cancer. Aren't you glad you got faith there that can help you overcome that? Now, don't sign for all these things just because they're in the genes. But this is what's in the natural part of you. Now this is what you inherit. This is the natural body that Paul calls it. Now watch, he says, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Raised in power. Raised in power, by power, of course, the power of God. Now watch, in verse 44, it is sown a natural body. Now I love this, listen to this, it's psychikos. Sensual, having the nature and characteristics of breath, the principle of animal life. Do you understand? Every burial that we have of every person that comes to this church, we are burying the highest form of animal life. Oh, we said we're burying the saint's body. Well, in one way and in one way not. The saint is no longer in that body. If you went home tonight after church and your house caught on fire, and you were able to get out, grab a few possessions, and you and your wife, children, whatever more, was able to go outside, did you burn with the house? You didn't. You mean you left the house. And the house was destroyed. But you were still alive. But now what if you're a sinner? When the body died, your representation died with it. Because you did not have eternal life. And that body there, you go to a holding area. Because you have not been quickened into a horrible dimension. But if you're a child of God, you escape the burning house. So the cancer might have took the life out of the body, a car wreck, whatever more, but you left out of that house and you are free. Oh, glory. Then you're outside the house standing there saying, glory to God, I got a new body. Hallelujah, my insurance paid off. Glory to God, before you can ever have time to catch another breath, your insurance policy for a new body will take care of you when you cross Jordan. Now watch, I love this. He said, it is sown a natural body. The principle of animal life. What men have in common with brutes. Now you can click on this in your software if you'd like to, on this word here. Strong's Concordance, the Greek word, and this is the word Paul chose to use. The sensuous nature with its subjection to appetite and passion. That's what we bury. I was out west a few years ago preaching, sweat running down my face, off my face. Some preacher grabbed me after church and said, I want some of that Holy Ghost sweat on my face. I said, there ain't no Holy Ghost in this sweat. Just stinking old salty sweat. Ain't no Holy Ghost in this blood. I know we sing the song sometimes, I'm a child of a king, child of a king. His royal blood flows through my veins. Bill Gates had a good idea, but that ain't the truth. What flows through my veins tonight is not the blood of God. It's the blood of Don and Betty Reagan. Blood born of my father in my mother's blood. I do not have Holy Ghost blood. I do not have Holy Ghost sweat. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. Glory. So it is sown a natural body, and the word natural denotes being endowed with animal life. Amen. Having breath or vitality. So it is sown an animal body. Amen. The man of Genesis 1 was the image of God. Put in the man of Genesis 2, which is the highest form of mammal. Then the man of Genesis 3 that will come and bruise the serpent's head will come and bring back the man of Genesis 1 to his original estate. In order to do that, now he must merge together as the man of Genesis 1 and of Genesis 2 and transcend beyond being born in a mammal type body and take that body into heaven in the presence of God so you could take yours there one day. Because believe it or not, friends, when Adam lived to be 930 years old and Adam died and Adam was buried, and no doubt they buried his body somewhere over there in Egypt, somewhere where the Garden of Eden was, right outside the Garden of Eden, and Adams went back to acids and gases and all of that, but all of his posterity are still going exactly the same way. So what did God do? God said, now I'm going to start a new race, and I'm going to have a new head of this new race, and I'll call him Adam too. The first Adam fell and done told all the human race into this. But the second man Adam will be totally different. The first man Adam was of a mammal. But the second man Adam will be a spirit being. Notice this. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So the first birth gives us that which is natural, but the second birth gives us that which is spiritual. And God always rejected the first birth. He rejected Cain and took Abel. Glory. He rejected Ishmael and chose Isaac. Glory! Don't you see what he's doing? God in showing that the firstborn that broke the womb, that come forth by conception, God rejected that. And then he took what? Abel, which his mother called vanity. You imagine the mother Eve, the church, named Cain. I have gotten a man with the Lord. I know the English says from the Lord. But if you look the Dorak and the different versions, she said, I actually got a man with God. Me and God got together. And I got a man from God. And his name is Acquisition Cain. And she said, this is God's man. This is God's man. Right here, this is God's man. And when Abel was born, she said, you are worthless. Abel. Vanity, worthless. But God said, this is my choice. Glory to God. Don't you understand? If the second born would have been born first, then the second born would have had the birthright. Can't you see why Jacob struggled? If Jacob would have been born first, there would have been no trouble. If your soul would have been born first, there wouldn't have been no trouble. But you were born in the body before your soul was ever born again. And God rejects the first birth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the first birth leaves us what? In an animal body. Mammal. Lord Jesus. Oh my. So this is why we have to be born again. So God rejects Cain. Chooses Abel. Rejects Ishmael, chooses Isaac. Rejects Esau, chooses Jacob. Rejects Donnie, and chooses Donnie. And I always want to be on the right page with God, so in order for me to make it, I've got to reject Donnie and choose Donnie. One of these days you're going to realize that's the main battle of your entire life. Which Jerry you choose. Which David you choose. Which Keith. Which one of you choose. That's the battle of your life after you're born again. Oh my. Now we are made in the image of God by the new birth once we are recreated and regenerated. We are made as far as divine personality into the image of God. But yet we still bear this image as far as the body is concerned after our new birth. That's why that we can still be buried as if though we were a sinner. If not, if the body had been changed along with the soul, then the grave would be an unfitting place for a body which has been transformed. But since your body ain't but about two handshakes above a dog, a grave's a good place for you when you die. Boy, some of y'all ain't liking this none, are you? Now watch this. Paul says it is sown a natural body, which is a soul body. A body which held a soul. A soul body. It is raised a spirit body. Now the word soul being used in Genesis 2:7 was to denote man living in a earthly tabernacle and the highest form of mammal life. Now when God breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul, then the very reflection of those words that Moses was led of God to use showed that man stepped into an animal body. So now he's in a soul body. So he becomes a living soul. Now the soul enters into that body, and then what happens? So the soul and the body are separate. So when God takes the soul, then the body what? Decays, rots, goes back to the acids and so on of the earth. Because this man was a soul body. Y'all with me? All right, I just want to make sure. Some of y'all got that deer in the headlight look on your face. Now, what's this? So it was a soul body, but it is raised a spirit body, not a soul body. So once the soul is breathed into it, it is the soul living in an animal body. Oh, glory. But it is raised a spiritual body. No longer now the presence of what we would call a soul. Watch this now in 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Now, what a peculiar thing that Paul in verse 44, he said, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And the very next verse, he says, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, a quickening spirit. What's that got to do with the resurrection? What's that got to do with the dead? Everything. Amen. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. That's what you are. First verse. Glory. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now watch as the apostle draws a contrast between the two Adams. Now look, friend, look carefully, because if you're sitting here tonight and you're born again, then you are identified in both of these types. If you're not born again, of course, you're still under the first man, Adam, only. But if you are truly born again, you are found written in this verse 45. You had no choice to be born the way you were before, the first birth. It was, of course, your name was on the book of life, and God knew you would come through the multiplication of genes and mixture of chromosomes and so on, and your mom and dad. You come on the earth, but now it's up to God to breathe a soul into that body. And when the body comes to the earth, breaking forth the womb of life, at the time of your birth, they did not see it. Your mom and dad didn't. Nobody else did. But inside of there, if your name was on the Lamb's book of life, a little seed of representation went down inside of there. But that was not the only thing. Also down inside of there went, like every other human being that was born on the earth, a soul. And you became a living soul, not a living gene. Oh my. Now what? So the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So the apostle then compares the animal life that is represented under the first man to the spiritual life represented under the second man, which is Christ Jesus. Now the origin of that man is the, now you imagine, why would God even do such a thing in the first place? Why would God take a spirit man of Genesis 1 and ever put it in a body that had a hand like a monkey and a foot like a bear? And all that. Why? Because his body displayed the kingdom that he was going to rule over. Notice what God did. Adam would have not been fitted to live. The man in Genesis 1 would have not been a proper head over the animal kingdom. So what did God do? He brought the man and condescended him from chapter 1 to chapter 2. So God took this spirit man, this spirit being, and he puts him in what? A body that bears the image of the kingdom he's going to rule over. Oh, glory to God. Because there was not spirit beings on the earth. There was plants and animals and all that sort of thing. So what does God do? God puts this man of Genesis 1 in the image of a body, a dust man. And as I said, a man, you know, has a hand like a bear and foot and all that like a monkey and whatever more. What's he doing? He's looking like the kingdom that he's going to rule over. Why would it be a strange thing then that our Lord would need to come to the earth if he's going to have a heavenly bridegroom and an earthly bride, and he's going to rule over her? Would not he need a body like her body? Would not he need to take on himself a body like yours? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. So what is the man in Genesis 2? It is the embodiment of the man in Genesis 1 in the office of his position. You can't lead the animals in a theophany. You can't speak to them as a spirit being. So the very act of condescension showed the great plan of God's redemption in his mind. When man condescended by the very creative act of God, not by choice, but by the very creative act of God, when God put this man over inside of this kind of a body, so he condescended from this to this. Glory to God. Whew. Somebody hold my notes while I shout. I'm kind of glad tonight wasn't the night Brother Tony's going to be here. I thought I was going to blow up if I had to wait to preach this. Oh, Lord, I've been sitting this for several weeks. I didn't think I was going to be able to make it another week. Oh, my. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Now, look at this word, psuche, the breath of life, the vital force which emanates the body and shows itself in breathing. That which there is life, a living being. Now we apply the word soul usually with us in the Western world in the intelligent, you know, the mortal, the immortal part rather of man that thinks and reasons and remembers and all that. But actually the Greek and the Hebrew words are more properly denote that which is alive, which is animated, which breathes, which has an animal nature. So the presence of this soul in type, inside this type of a body, it is now animated. Right. Animal. Animated. No wonder you take the Holy Ghost off folks that are lower than dogs. Huh? So then sisters or women, let me say, women who paint up, and Brother Branham would call them dog meat, and it makes folks mad and offends them. Well, isn't that pretty fitting? Dog meat for dogs? Take the Holy Ghost off a man, he's lower than a dog. That dog's going to get hungry. What's he going to feed on? Come on. The Bible calls people dogs. Right? You know what that word means, don't you? It ain't a four-legged bow wow. The English, the Greek word for dog was a male prostitute. Sodomite. Well, glory. Now watch, then the natural man, as Paul now links the natural man to the first man, Adam. So the idea that Paul uses here is that it is sown. It is sown. This body, once it goes down into the ground or it is cremated or, you know, whatever happens to this body at death, then this body has this representation, so this life is now ended of this dominion by which the spirit man that was born of the Spirit of God had bore the image of the earthly. But now the reign, in this type of reign, the man of Genesis 1 living inside the man of Genesis 2, but the conversion of the man of Genesis 3 has now brought you to where you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, which means when you get up, you'll not have a 50-year-old body. Now watch then again, he says, as so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made, a quickening spirit, not a soul. Now remember, Jesus did not come just in animate nature. Now don't use the word now thinking of mortality and the soul, and don't think of that because that's not the Greek word that was used. But it was animated life. Animated life. So when once God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became animated. What did Brother Ben say? He was standing there, his toes was down in the ground like a tree with no life, no movement. Then God breathed into him. God's the first animationist. So God then animated this man, but in what kind of a body? The kind of a body that represented the kingdom he was going to rule over. Oh, glory. Can't you see why these bodies have got to be changed? Then we will have to have a body that will be in representation of the kingdom we're going to. Well, if it's only going to last 1,000 years, I'll only need a body that'll last 1,000 years and it'll be annihilated. But if I'm going to an eternal kingdom, I will need a body which will never be able to be destroyed. So I do not need an animated body. Now remember, you know what I'm talking about with animation, don't you? You know, even in cartoons and all that, how they take one frame and they take another. And then they found out many, many years ago in making the film that they take the same drawing and change it just a little bit. And then they was able to move it through a slide projector. And it actually seemed as if though that was moving. It was not actually moving. They would just change the drawing. So they'd take a mouse and they'd draw it a certain way. And maybe two or three slides would be exactly the same way. Then they'd move an ear. And then they'd move it a little more. Then a little more. Then they'd move a tail. And then they'd start moving that real fast. And it seemed as if though that mouse was alive. It wasn't alive. It just become what they call animated. So that's the way you were, you old rat. That's why we live like dogs and wallowed in the sin like hogs, because that's what we was. Oh, glory. But one day Papa came by. Glory to God. And he said, you ain't no cartoon mouse. You ain't no animated person. You've got a seed of life down inside of you. You need more than animation. You need resurrection. Oh, glory to God. You need a resurrection, not an animation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And the word quickening, give life, to produce life, begat or bear living young. Glory to God. So if God ever gives birth, reckon what he give birth to. I ain't too smart, but I found out a long time ago, cats give birth to cats. Dogs give birth to dogs. Horses give birth to horses. So if God ever give birth, reckon what he give birth to. Oh. Glory to God, kind after its time. So he is made a quickening, which means he can bring forth live young. If we don't shout tonight, I don't understand why. The last Adam was made a quickening, begat or bear living young by spiritual power to rouse or invigorate, to restore to life. Which means you had to have it before or you couldn't be restored. No deposit, no return. To restore to life, to give increase of life. So the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Look at the word spirit. Pneuma, Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, Spirit of Christ. God's power and agency, distinguishable in thought from his essence in itself considered. The disposition or influence which feels and governs the soul of anyone. So he becomes a quickening spirit. Reckon what he's going to do. Reckon what he wants to quicken. Young. Young. Woo. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. If Jacob would have been born first, all the issues of the birthright would have been settled. Isn't it amazing that he was born second, but he had the right desire? It's like the desire wound up in him, but it wound up in the wrong birth. No, it didn't. No, you see, if Esau would have had that desire, he'd have been the godly one. All them birth issues, all the birthright thing, there'd been no problem. Don't you understand he was a perfect type of you? If your soul would have been born first, your body would have fallen in a glorified state. But because the body Esau, if you will, was born first, and then Jacob was born down inside of there, the prince had found power with God. And that old outside, I don't want to go to church. I know, he said, Jacob says, shut up. We're going to the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. I may wrestle with God tonight. I'm going to church, Esau. Shut up. if Isaac could have been born first, with all these problems with Ishmael and all of his children wouldn't have existed. But it followed true to form. If my seed would have been born first by the breath of God and God would just put it down here in the body, it would have come into existence in a form first. All my birthright problems would have been settled. But this was born first. And this soul had to catch up. Oh my, howbeit that was not first which is spirit, but that which is natural. Actually, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. Earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are. Isn't it amazing? So here you sit tonight, those of you that are born again, and you bear two images. The image of the earthy and the image of the heavenly. Let's stand. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Not in that combination. Flesh and bones can. But not blood. You won't have blood. You won't need blood. There'll be no reproduction. I don't know how the eating and all that will be, how it'll all be carried about. That's up to him. I'm sure he's going to get it all worked out. I ain't even going to worry about it. I'm just going to sit down at the table and eat. I don't think that marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be imaginary. We'll just sit there and, you know, like your kids or your grandbabies do, and they just sit there and just eat off a bunch of stuff it was and got nothing before them. I don't think that's what it's going to be. We're actually going to eat and drink. But there won't be no blood. But I'll be like the second Adam was. And you will too. So it could take a piece of fish, broil fish, and honeycomb. And eat. But no elimination. No digestive juices or as it would be on the earth. How is it? I don't know. How did he appear Melchizedek and sit down and eat a sandwich with Abraham? I don't know. But I know it'll be perfect. And don't worry, you won't have no stomach trouble up there. As a matter of fact, you won't have any kind of trouble. Thank you, Lord! Will there be a corporal body? You tell me. At his return. Our corporal body is synchronized with his. And when it leaves the throne and changes his garments from the lamb to become the lion king, his movement. Isn't it amazing in the scripture? Did you ever notice it? Jesus stood still and Jesus knelt. You ever notice in the Bible how many different postures of the body there was when certain things happened? That they would stand or they would sit or they would do this or that. It's amazing in the scripture when you look at it. So you imagine when Jesus stands. It was when Jesus stood still that he called for Bartimaeus and said, bring him to me. It wasn't when Jesus was walking. It's when Jesus stood still. So Jesus' movement, his movement or change in posture has to do with our deliverance. Did you notice the scripture we read the other night about Stephen? That Stephen saw Jesus standing. Yet Paul said Jesus was sitting. It must have been such an advent in heaven that Jesus actually stood up so Stephen would see him. Can you imagine what this meant to Stephen and knowing who he was? For him to get up off of that mediatorial position and stand, what exception it must have been. He wanted to send him a heavenly message, come home, son. The change in his posture of his body sent a signal. Oh, glory to God. You wait till he stands up and walks out. Oh, glory to God. When he does, the changing of his posture means we're going home. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your word, Father. Lord, I don't understand how it all works, how it all is going to come to pass. But all I know is I want to be part of it. Lord, may there not be a one of us missing that day. Tonight we can see that we bear the image of the earthy. Lord, we bury those saints among us, their bodies, the houses they lived in. How many have I buried in the last 20-some years I've been here? Lord God, many of them, their bodies have already decayed, went back to dust. Because they still bore the image of the earthy. But yet, if they were quickened to life by the second Adam, when they left that body, there was a theophany waiting to catch them. When the resurrection sets in, they will not come back in a soul body, but they will come back in a spiritual body, which will not have a place for a soul. Psyche, sunuko. It will be different. Theophany, no longer a soul. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. I pray you'd comfort those tonight that are weary. Heal those that are sick. Encourage those that are down. Be mindful of all of us in our needs, Lord God. May we be a part of that great resurrection morning. When your posture changes and you rise from the throne of God. And you step out from behind that mysterious part. And you become the Lion King. The prophet said the first thing you do is call for your queen. Hallelujah. May we be so synchronized to your body moves that our body will be changed. Hallelujah. It amazes me, Lord, how that man is able to make a rover and land it over on Mars. And all these thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away, and yet they can still control it. Tell it which direction to go and its motors and all that. And tell it to send pictures back to the earth and takes so long because it's so far away. And they're able to do that by an invisible something. Well, if they can do that, can't you control a church? Can't you, Lord God, come upon your people the last day? Oh, glory to God. And it's not thousands of miles away, but it's right here tonight, just in another dimension. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. Harry, sing that song that you sang as we come out. Let's just worship him a little bit now, friends, before we go. I think if you've got the new birth, it's already started in you tonight. Brother Bram said, everything you have need of is in you for this last journey, even the rapture. Don't resent that, he says. It's already in you tonight. It's already started. Let's worship him just a bit before we go.
Surround me, oh Lord. Surround me, oh Lord. Surround me,
yes Lord.
Oh Lord.
Sing it, church.
Let your presence fill this place. Surround me, oh Lord. Surround me, oh Lord. Surround me, oh Lord. presence fill this place.
Jesus, let's just close our eyes, raise our hands. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we believe what we've heard tonight. We thank you for it, Lord. This is what believers believe. This is what they expect. This is what they look for. And for those who are waiting, watching for him, will he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? We're watching. We're waiting, Lord. Hallelujah. For you to come back to earth again. Praise God. Lord, in the realm of politics, our nation is so pulled back and forth. The politicians are lying and telling their platforms they'll do this and that and the other, and the people are nervous. Don't know who the next president will be. The Republicans hope it'll be their man. The Democrats hope it'll be theirs. And most of us don't know what we hope. We don't know who it ought to be. But we know one thing. We know who our man is. We know who we're looking to come into power. We'll never vote you out, Lord. One day, it'll be set up and headquarters will be set up in Jerusalem. Oh, glory to God. If there is such a thing as a newspaper, it'll be rolled out of there every day. The Prince of Peace issued a new declaration of peace. No more war. Hallelujah. 567th year of the millennium. Not one death to date. All peace and happiness and joy.
nation is not lifting up sword against nation. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. What a kingdom, Lord. And that's just the honeymoon. That's just that time when we come back down on the earth. Then that day kingdom will come into view. Lord Jesus, how we long for it, Father. We hear things like this. It makes us wish we could leave this building tonight, Lord God, in rapture. Help us, Lord, that we can be faithful to that great day of our lives. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the service tonight, Father. Make it real to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, children. I'll see you, Lord willing, this weekend. Go in the fear of God. Let's sing it as we go. Surround me, oh Lord. Go in the fear of God. Surround me, Jesus. Surround me, oh Lord. Let your presence fill this place. Oh, surround me, my Lord. Surround.
Let your presence.